Well, let's open with a word of prayer. Father, thank you for this chance to be together. As we move into your word, Lord, we ask that you would give us open hearts and open minds, that, Father, that your Holy Spirit would speak to each one of us where we live, in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. I had a lot of time to think about this concept of living on purpose, and it's, you know how you have a God appointment sometimes? I went to a retirement yesterday, and when y'all see Sean Jones, make sure that you congratulate him. He retired after 24 years of service, and so you want to give him a pat on the back and tell him thank you. But as I was having a conversation with the gentleman that was there, we were just talking, and he talks about, man, I'm just so frustrated. It feels like that all I have is, you know, leftovers, that I give my wife the leftovers, you know, what's left over in my life. And I feel like I'm giving my kids the leftovers, you know, and I feel like I give God the leftovers. And as we were beginning to talk about this, so I asked him, so what do you give your best to? And he kind of gave me that look, and he stood there and he talked for a minute, and he goes, I couldn't tell you. I can't tell you what I give my best to. And that, to me, really spoke to exactly what we want to talk about today, is living on purpose. That you understand that there is something that God has given you, something inside of you that is significant, and something inside of you that God's calling you to move toward and live toward. How many of y'all have seen the movie The Matrix? Okay, as I was thinking about, you guys remember Neo in The Matrix? Every once in a while he would have this flash and he'd see something bigger than what he was living in. And I believe that's where a lot of Christian men live today. They know there's something more. They know there's something great, but they can't bring it into focus. They can't get that to snap into focus so that they understand all that is that larger picture around them. So what does God want to accomplish today? There's three things that I believe God has put on my heart to bring to you guys today. First is, I want to inspire you to live with a purpose, a goal, and a meaning in your life. I want you to leave here with the idea, there's something I need to focus on, something that God is calling me to, something that fits with who I am and how God created me. Second, I will step just short of calling this a word from God, but I believe that it is a word for men. Stop wandering. Stop wondering what you're doing. Stop allowing circumstances to dictate what your future is going to look like. Stop allowing the culture around us to tell you who you are and where you're going. And then third, we want to create a way for men to start pursuing how to know their purpose in light of God's love and His will. And I'd like to tell you that you'll leave here today with that all worked out, but that's not true. What I want you to leave here with today is the idea that God's calling me. I've got some work to do. I want to leave you with some tips. I want to leave you with some thoughts. And I want to leave you guys with a determination that I'm not going to continue to go the same way I'm going right now. I'm going to put the thought and effort into knowing what God's calling me to do. But this isn't just a good idea. When we begin to look into God's Word, and we're going to do a lot of God's Word, so I want you to pull out your sheets. I gave each one of you should have a stapled sheet there. And I'm going to give you 30 seconds. That stapled sheet right at the top, it says, what do you want to get out of today? I want you to write down a personal goal, what you want to get from our time together this morning, and it's right there on the top of your sheet. So we're going to allow God's Word to do the speaking this morning. I want you to really connect. I've given you almost every scripture that I'm going to share is written on your sheet. We've given you some place there to write some notes, to write things for yourself. I believe it's important that you take these with you today and give them some contemplation. Proverbs 29:18. Where there is no revelation, the people cast off restraint, but happy is he who keeps the law. We see the same thing in, that's in the King James Version. In the New King James, we see, where there is no vision, or in the Old King James, where there's no vision, the people perish, but he that keepeth the law, happy is he. What we begin to understand, that picture of revelation, is the idea of, I have a purpose, I have a vision, I know clearly where it is that I'm going. There is something laid out in front of me, something that I'm pursuing. So God's word is clear that if we don't have that vision, if we don't have that purpose, we cast off restraint. What does that mean? It means we just kind of go any direction that we want to. Whatever sounds good, that's what we pursue. Whatever's good at the moment. We cast off the constraint of self-discipline. We cast off the restraint of pursuing something that's valuable. I want you to look at Mark chapter 1, verse 38. And he said unto them, and this is Jesus talking, let us go into the next towns that I may preach, for therefore came I forth. That's for you, Chaplain Bill. I know you like Old King James. In New King James, it reads like this. Now, in the morning, having risen a long while before daylight, he went out and departed to a solitary place, and there he prayed. So I want you to look at the life of Jesus as an example right now. What better role model do we have? He begins to tell us something significant about the way he lived his life. It says early in the morning. Now, I'm not here to tell you that you have to get up first thing in the morning. You know, that you have to be an early riser like me. What is he saying in this? Make God a priority. Make God your priority. Whatever you're doing in life right now today, as a husband, as a worker, as a father, whatever you're doing, you need to make God a priority. That's the first thing that we see in this passage. And then it says that he went to a solitary place. Get alone with God. Get away from distraction. Do whatever you have to do so that you spend some quality time with your Father. And there he prayed. Talk to God. Sometimes we make this way too difficult. We couch it in terms, you know, and when we hear the word prayer, it means somehow we've got to be on our knees with our heads bowed, our eyes closed. Jesus talked to God. He made him a priority. He made sure he got some time alone with him, and he talked to him. That's what he's speaking to us this morning. We need to first and foremost understand that this is a lifestyle change that we're being called to. He's calling us to see how life, with all of its busyness, with all of our work and our school and our, you know, our families and our activities and our recreation, that we need to come back to the concept and understand that God's a priority. If we want to have a relationship with God, if we want to be men of God, we need to follow the example of the perfect man, Jesus, and make God a priority. It goes on and says, Simon and those who were with him searched for him. I want to be that guy. I want to be that guy that loves God so much that when I'm hanging out with God, they got to send a search party. You know? That they're going, man, where did he go? And I want them to say, he must be hanging out with God again. He must be hanging out with his Father. What greater thing could your wife or your family or your friends say about you than you spend so much time hanging out with God? Not that you're no earthly good, but they have confidence in that relationship. And when they found him, they said, everyone is looking for you. How many of you guys feel like everybody's looking for you? All the time. Every day. Do you kind of get the idea that maybe Jesus knows what you're going through? See, we tend to put Jesus in this box that says that he had the perfect life. You know, he was never distracted. He was never hassled. He was never harried. He never really had to face the things that we have to face. And that's not true. It says that he lived life, did everything that we do. He had to live through everything. He knows what it's like to deal with real life and the needs and expectations of others. Now, he said to them, Jesus, let us go into the next towns that I may preach. So I want you to get this. Let go into the next towns that I may preach, because for this purpose I've come forth. See, Jesus knew what his purpose was. He had to deal with all those different things, but he knew what his purpose was, what he was called. Matter of fact, we can continue on. And in 1 John, we see this. 1 John 3 says, little children, let no one deceive you. He who practices righteousness is righteous, just as he is righteous. But he who sins is of the devil, for the devil has sinned from the beginning. But then we see something about what's being said. For this purpose, for this mission, for this calling, the Son of God was manifested that he might destroy the works of the devil. See, we begin to see that Jesus was called to preach, and Jesus was called, came with the purpose of destroying the works of the devil. It goes on in John chapter 12, verse 27. And it says, now my soul is troubled, and what shall I say? Father, save me from this hour. But for this purpose, I came to this hour. Father, glorify yourself. In the midst of the most difficult moments of his life, the purpose that Jesus, he had that in the forefront of his mind. He knew why he was here. And he allowed that to guide his thoughts. He allowed it to guide his motivation. He allowed it to guide his heart. He didn't waver. He said, my soul is troubled. I'm struggling. I'm in a place where I'm in a battle. But what shall I say? Save me from this hour? Save me from the very thing that I need to be here for? No. I know it's difficult, but for this purpose I came to this hour. Father, glorify your name. Jesus was determined and focused by his purpose. It brought focus to his life. Acts chapter 26. So I said, who are you, Lord? And he said, I am Jesus, whom you are persecuting. But rise and stand on your feet. For I have appeared to you for this purpose, to make you a minister and a witness, both to the things that you have seen and the things which I will reveal to you. So when we begin to look at the life of Jesus, we see that he came with the purpose to defeat Satan. We see that he came with the purpose to preach the gospel. He came with the purpose to set the captives free, to gather and to win our redemption. And he came with the purpose to call and give others purpose and vision, as he laid out for Paul. So I'm going to give you 5 minutes around the table, leaders. I want you to talk around your table right now. What is the value of having a clear purpose and vision for your life? You've got 5 minutes, so I want you to begin to have this discussion. All right. Well, it's good to hear you guys having some great discussion. We're going to continue on because we're going to give you another opportunity to build on what you're doing right now. I want to share a passage of Scripture with you that will help you to see that having a purpose or a vision applies to each one of us, not just Jesus, Paul, or other important people that are around us, but it applies to us right now. Jeremiah chapter 29, it says this, "Thus says the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, to all the exiles whom I have sent into exile from Jerusalem to Babylon." Now, I understand that God hasn't sent us into exile. This certainly is not our home, amen? We're temporary here. But the principle that he's laying out here does apply to us. So I want you to see the application. It says, "Build houses and live in them. Plant gardens, eat their produce. Take wives and become the fathers of sons and daughters. And take wives for your son and give your daughters to husbands, that they may bear sons and daughters and multiply, that there not be a decrease. And seek the welfare of the city where I have sent you into exile, and pray to the Lord on its behalf, for in its welfare you will have welfare." Do you see the picture of living life right now today? This is exactly what God's saying that we need to do where we're at. We need to live life. We need to be conscious of God's timing. We need to be conscious of His will. We need to do the things that He's called us to. We need to pray for the welfare of our city, our state, our country. That whole concept of being involved in interceding for the place that we live, for the people that we live around. And He's saying, don't wait for something else. Don't wait for some magical thing to be perfect. Live life where you're at right now with a distinct purpose. It goes on in verse 10 and it says, "For thus says the Lord, when 70 years have been completed for Babylon, I will visit and fulfill my good word to you and bring you back to this place. For I know the plans, I know the purpose that I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans for welfare and not for calamity, to give you future and a hope. Then you will call on me and come and pray to me, and I will listen to you. You will seek me and find me when you search for me with all of your heart." I want you to see the principle in that when we live life, then when we are engaged with the things that God has called us to do, when we seek Him with our whole heart, when we make Him a priority, God says that we will hear Him, we will find Him, we will be led by Him, and that He has plans for us. We're not just wandering through this life. Amen? Psalm 20, verse 4 says this, "May He grant you," and this is King David, Psalm of King David, "May He grant you your heart's desire and fulfill all your purpose." He's talking about an encouragement. He says, there's a purpose. May God fulfill your purpose. The key to having a rewarding and productive life is developing a specific plan to fulfill your personal life purpose. God's call. He wants you to walk in what you know, and then He will continue to reveal and refine and grow you up. But you have to define or discover or develop an understanding of your purpose. And how do we do that? How can you know that? You have to take a good look at yourself. You have to ask some significant and influential questions. This was part of the reason I sent you the primer that says, write your own eulogy. What would you want others to say about you? Because it causes us to look at ourselves. We need to ask ourselves questions like, what is my reason for existence as a human being? My reason for existence as an individual. How did God shape me? What are my spiritual gifts, my heart, my abilities, personality, my experience? We talk about that in some of our STEP classes. If you've never taken that, I would encourage you to do it. What do I want to do with my life? What would I want to do more than anything else, even if I was not paid for it? What do I love to do so much that I forget to eat or sleep? That I just, I get involved in it and it just, I get rolling. What are those things? We begin to ask ourselves these questions because God made you on purpose. To really take this kind of look at yourself, though, it takes courage. It takes courage to strip off the preconceived notions and maybe what people have said, this is what you should be all your life. It takes time actually getting alone with God or getting alone with your own thoughts. It takes effort. It's easy to go back to the things that I've just assumed was me, the things that I've put into place. And it takes discipline. It takes discipline to actually write things down. It takes discipline to actually open the Word of God. It takes discipline to interact with other people and to allow them to speak into your life and to not do this. There are four things that God gives us to help us to develop an understanding of our purpose, to know what our purpose is, and to evaluate our thoughts and our plans. There's no easy way to do this. It takes effort, guys. We have the Bible. 2 Timothy talks about all Scripture being given by inspiration of God, profitable for doctrine, reproof, correction, and instruction. God wants to talk to you through His Word. When you take the time to talk to Him, to get alone, you break out the Word and you begin to have that conversation that says, God, this is who I am. This is how I understand myself. This is what I understand my life to be. But I'm open to hear from you. Would you speak to me from your Word? And you begin to open it up. He can bring correction. He can bring inspiration. He can bring those things into your mind, that instruction in righteousness. That's also why He gave us the Holy Spirit. As believers in Jesus, when we begin to chase after God and we say that you are a priority in life and that I love you, it says that the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, He will teach you all things. This is what we're talking about, right? I don't have all the answers right now, but I want you to teach me. I want you to begin to speak into my life, God. I want you to begin to use your Word. And it says the Holy Spirit will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all things that I've said to you. When we begin to hang out with God, we make His Word a priority and we ask and open ourselves to the Holy Spirit, because you can read the Word of God and not open yourself up and say, okay, God, right now, I'm choosing to listen. I'm choosing to step back and not force my will, but I'm asking you to begin to speak into my life. And it says the Holy Spirit will begin to speak when we have that quiet moment and allow God to speak. And your conscience. One of the ways we know if you have a healthy conscience, one of the ways we know God's will is we're at peace. When you begin to think about something, when you begin to contemplate a course of action or something like that, and you have that check in your spirit, you have that thing in your inside of you that goes, no. We ought to listen. We ought to begin to evaluate that. I'm not saying that we need to go by our feelings, but that should be something that brings an awareness to us. But when you begin to contemplate, you've looked at God's Word and you've asked the Holy Spirit and you have peace, that's significant. That's important. And then wise counsel. Proverbs chapter 1 says, to know wisdom and instruction. It's what we're talking about, right? In practical terms, we're talking about having wisdom about where we're going in life. We're getting instruction from God to perceive the words of understanding, to receive the instruction of wisdom, justice, judgment, and equity, to give prudence to the simple, to a young man knowledge and discretion. A wise man will hear and increase learning, and a man of understanding will attain wise counsel. And that concept of wise counsel is the idea of spiritually mature individuals that have been successful before you in what you're driving at, what you're considering. This is the time to talk to someone like a Dave Corey or a pastor or some of the guys on the men's ministry team or a brother in Christ that's been successful in the area that you're thinking about or looking at. Wise counsel is not necessarily going to one of your peers that's struggling with the same things that you're struggling with. That's why God has given us each other to begin to move forward and to be able to speak into each other's lives. Proverbs 16:9 says this, "A man's heart plans his ways, but the Lord directs his steps." A lot of times we hear that in a negative sense going, you know, you can make whatever plans, but, you know, it's really God that will set the right pathway. But I wanted you to see this in a positive way. God's created you. He's put things in your heart. You know that shape? There are things that you will plan and things that you will consider and things that you will contemplate. And when you bring those before God, He will establish those things that are significant and He'll direct your steps. How does He do that? He does that through the Word. Something in Scripture will confirm. He does that through the Holy Spirit by speaking by peace and by wise counsel. When you begin to talk about these plans that you have with other, He will use all these elements to help you to know you're moving in the right direction. But what if I get it wrong? Can I tell you something? It's okay. We're none of us are going to be perfect, and God will continue to walk down that path with us. This is not a one-shot deal, but a way of living life that will help us to be successful. The same concept in Proverbs 19. There are many plans in a man's heart. Nevertheless, the Lord's counsel will stand. Proverbs 15:22, without counsel, plans go astray or awry. But in the multitude of counselors, they're established. Proverbs 21, and I want you to hear this. But the plans of the diligent lead surely to plenty. That word diligent, you have to stick to it. It's not always going to be easy. It's not going to necessarily come to fruition overnight. That concept of diligent, when you know what God's called you to do, when you are moving in the best direction that you understand, you have to be diligent because the enemy will come against you. Others will come against you. Life will come against you. Just like that guy that said, I feel like I'm giving everyone around me nothing but leftovers. That's the picture of someone living life that has lost focus on what his purpose was in life. And he needs to be diligent to move back toward those most important things. And that's what this is saying. The paths of the diligent will lead surely to plenty, but those of everyone who is hasty surely to poverty. When we expect things to just be done right now, you know, kind of our microwave culture, that really leads us to a dangerous place. So how do we pursue it? Well, we need to write it down. We need to write out a blueprint for life, because if you don't have it written down, there's really very little, I won't say nothing, but very little that God can use to direct you in, because as soon as you move on, if you don't have some certain things written down, you're going to forget them. Life's going to become busy. I literally, in my closet, and I'm not going to take you guys to my house, but in my closet, I have goals, and I have a plan written down, and I do this every year. Last year, I had write every person in my family a letter every quarter. I had finish the Sermon on the Mount I accomplished that. I had some things for myself, ride from Bremerton to the top of Hurricane Ridge. Some guys in here helped me accomplish that goal. There were literally goals. There were goals for my ministry. There were goals physically. There were goals financially. There was a written down plan that when I walked in and I put my clothes on every day, that I could look at that in just a moment's time and it helped me to know where I was going. What the course was God had set out for me in this year. There is no substitute for a written plan. Why? Because it's shareable. I can talk to some of my Joshua's men like Tom and Mike and say, this is what God's called me to this year. It's accountable. They can ask me, how you doing? What's going on in your life? It's measurable. I could actually tell you, these are some of the things that I achieved. You can celebrate. You know, it's kind of nice to see those things that you get accomplished. And that helps you to have the energy to keep moving forward. It's encouraging and it helps to focus when life gets crazy. When someone breaks a leg or breaks a foot or, you know, something goes crazy at work and all of a sudden you feel like you're just surviving, you can walk in and it helps bring you back to that focus. What's really important? I have to work. I have to deal with some of these things going on in my life. But what is my focus? What are the most important things right now? Don't lose sight. Proverbs chapter 16 says that we need to commit our works to the Lord and your plans will be established. So you need to commit to your purpose. You need to commit to your plans. You will never fulfill your vision if you're not committed to it. You'll need to make a specific decision that you're going to follow through with what you want to do. And acknowledge that God may refine your plans as He leads you through the process of life and change. As a point of personal growth, it is in fact, a good idea to review your personal vision, your goals, your purpose on a regular basis at every point, at least every 6 months to a year, to take time, block off some time, review, reevaluate where you are in relationship to your purpose and God's calling for your life. I want to give you some time around the tables. There are two things that I want you to accomplish in the next 30 minutes, 20 minutes. I want you to discuss the concept of living on purpose, but I also want you to look at the activities that I've given you. I've learned this, gentlemen. I will say this. I believe it is something that is accurate to every single man. If you do not write down your goals and your plans, you will not necessarily achieve them. You may achieve some things and you'll get some of it done, but if it's not written down, if you can't look at it, if you can't measure it, you're probably 90% more likely to not achieve those things that are important. So what I've given you are some activities on your sheet, and that's why I want you to take these sheets home. One is to write your own legacy. You won't get that complete today, but I want you to look at that. I also gave you some goals, a place to write some goals. I gave you some ideas. These are not the only questions. These are not the only goals or areas of goals. This is not the only way to write a legacy. This is to get your mind started because we need to work on this. This is a process that will take time. Amen? So around your table, leaders, living on purpose, and around this table, began to talk about what is the legacy I would want to leave, and began to speak to each other about some of those things that are important.